You are listening to a podcast from Vineyard Church of Augusta. For more information, visit vineyardaugusta.org.
So this is Compassion Month for us here at Vineyard Church. Every November, as long as I can remember, is Compassion Month. It's the month every year that we determine to focus on God's heart for the poor. This is not something we do just in November, but in November we give it that zoom in focus. God's call to serve, to give to, and to go to the poor in Jesus' name. And Jesus models this for us. This was one of the primary things that he did when he was here on earth. In fact, when he read from the scrolls of Isaiah in the temple, right at the beginning of his public ministry, the very first thing that he read from Isaiah 61, what we know now as Isaiah 61, which we find in Luke chapter 4, was this: that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. And last week we looked at how this call to bring good news to the poor is a call for us to serve the poor. That Jesus, who is the Son of God, didn't come to earth to be served, but to serve and to give. And this week we're going to focus more on that call to give. We're called to bring the good news to the poor, and it is also a call to give to the poor. If you were here back in September and October, you were a part of a series where we focused on loving Jesus and the worshiping life that loves Jesus. And the worshiping life that loves Jesus is a life of stewardship. And automatically, when we think of stewardship, we automatically think of money, but it's so much more than that. Remember that stewardship that honors God includes, yes, giving our time, our resources, and our abilities, not just to the church, but to the poor, okay? To the poor, specifically. To the poor, it involves not just giving money, not just giving time, but also the talent, skills, the connections that we have, the resources that are available to us, that they're not just for our own benefit, they are to be used for the benefit of the kingdom of God. And this is a key part. This is part of Jesus' example to us. Because when we do these things, we are reflecting Jesus. We are reflecting the character of Jesus who came to earth to show us the Father. And our Father who is a generous God. God so loved that he did what? He gave. He gave Jesus. He gave heaven's best. When we didn't deserve diddly squat, and that's in the Rhys LeRoy version of Scripture, when we didn't deserve anything, God gave us his best in Jesus. God loved and he gave. It's possible to give without loving, okay? But it's never possible to love without giving. And Jesus shows us that in his life here on earth. In Acts chapter 20, the Apostle Paul, he's meeting with a group of elders from the Ephesus church, and he talks to them about caring for all of their church, including the poor. And this was a big part of the early church. This was a big part of the early church. This was a huge part of their witness to the Roman world, of how they were taking care of the poor, the widows, the sick among them. And that was a huge testimony that really set them apart, because in all the other cultures, they were just throwaways, the sick, the poor, the widows. They were just thrown away. But Paul says this to the church leaders there in Ephesus. He says, "I have never coveted anyone's silver or gold or fine clothes. You know that these hands of mine have worked to supply both my own needs and even the needs of those who were with me. And I have been a constant example of how you can help those in need by working hard. You should remember the words of the Lord Jesus, who said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" So Paul is saying, hey, I'm bivocational. I've got a job making tents that helps to fund the ministry that God has called me to. It pays for my way of life. It helps to support others who are doing ministry. But not only that, it is also monies that I have available to help the poor with. And Jesus didn't say that it's easy or it's natural to give, but it is more blessed to give. It is a lifestyle of blessing, of goodness. Last week we looked at how at the Gospels and saw how Jesus served the poor And when we actually serve the poor, that we're serving him. He talks about that in Matthew. How when we are serving the poor, when we're serving those who are thirsty, are hungry, are naked, are in prison, that we're actually serving him. And Scripture also tells us that when we give to the poor, that we're giving to God. That it's that same correlation. He so identifies, he so connects with the poor that he wants us to see that. Giving to the poor is an act of obedient worship to God. In Proverbs 19, and several of these passages are in your notes in your program, so if you want to go back and read over those, and I would encourage you to do that, it says this: if you help the poor, you are lending to the Lord, and the Lord will repay you. That's a good way to use the monies that are entrusted to us. That's good stewardship. This morning, I want us to look at one of my favorite Bible stories growing up. It's the story of Jesus and Zacchaeus. And maybe one of the reasons I love the story of Zacchaeus is because, yes, there's a song, right? How many of you remember? Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. Sing it. He climbed up in the sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And when the Savior passed that way, he looked up in the tree and he said, "Zacchaeus, you come down, because I'm going to your house today." Yeah, yeah, woo! Now, how many of you expected that to be part of your worship repertoire this morning? Yeah, but that song is so politically incorrect in so many ways, right? The vertically challenged, yes. Hey, the average height in the U.S. is 5'9". Thank you. Anyway, the Gospel of Luke is the only gospel that includes the story of Zacchaeus. And if you remember last week, I talked about how Luke is the only writer of any of the New Testament that's not a Jew. He's the only Gentile. He was the only Gentile among the disciples. And so he sort of sees things from an outsider standpoint. And he includes the story of Zacchaeus, because if you were to look from a sort of a literary standpoint, the Gospel of Luke, there are three themes that keep popping up throughout the Gospel of Luke. The problem of riches, the challenge of riches, the problem of riches, and how to deal with them in a way that doesn't sabotage you. Jesus continually identifying with sinners and outcasts, and then also just seeing faith that recognizes Jesus as Lord and the resulting new life that comes when individuals or people, groups, see Jesus, recognize him as Messiah, and the change that comes about in their lives. And in Zacchaeus' story, in Luke chapter 19, we've got check. Yes, he talks about the problem of money. He's got a money problem, and that he's got his money in ways that are not necessarily very healthy. And secondly, he's an outsider because he is a tax collector, not only a tax collector, a chief tax collector. So he's really considered bad by both the culture and the society of his day, as well as the religious establishment. And then we're going to see the beautiful thing that he recognizes Jesus. He welcomes him into his home, into his life, and there is a radical change that occurs. So the story of Zacchaeus has all of these three. Now, I would encourage you to go back one chapter and compare. We're going to focus on Jesus and Zacchaeus today, but go back just one chapter and compare the story of Zacchaeus to the story of another man, the rich young ruler, which is just the chapter before this. He's coming to Jesus. He's saying, you know, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life, thinking that he's already gotten everything, you know, covered. He's a religious ruler among the Jews. And he thinks he's got everything covered, and he's just sort of wanting to just, you know, double-check and make himself look good, probably. Jesus has, in terms of spiritual gifts, a word of knowledge about really what's going on in the man's heart. And it says that he was rich and that he was a religious ruler. And Jesus told him, he said, you need to go and sell all that you have and give it to the poor and come and follow me. Because Jesus saw in that man that he didn't have riches. Riches had him. And was really controlling his heart and his life. And as you know, the passage tells us that the man turned away sorrowfully and left Jesus. Jesus loved him. He looked at him and loved him, and he said these things out of love and out of wanting God's kingdom best for him. So we're going to, I would encourage you, go back and look at that in Luke 18 and compare it to what we're going to focus on today in Luke 19, where we see a very different outcome with Zacchaeus. We see a genuine experience of healing and new life because of his personal encounter with Jesus. So in Luke chapter 19, if you want to read along with me, Luke chapter 19, Jesus entered Jericho and he made his way through the town. Now, Jesus was just passing through Jericho. This was not like a point of destination. It wasn't like Jesus had a ministry conference or he was going to go preach at the temple there. This was simply, he was just passing through. But Jesus was always about doing what the Father was doing. And that should be the case with us as well, right? That we are always knowing that God's always at work. Are we tuned in to what the Father's doing and being obedient and responsive to that? Jesus was. He gives us a wonderful example of that. And it says, there was a man there in Jericho named Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector in the region, and he had become very rich as a result of being the tax collector, the chief tax collector. And again, both from a social standpoint and a religious standpoint, Zacchaeus was considered an outcast because he was cooperating with the Roman government that was occupying Jericho at the time. Zacchaeus tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass that way. Now, I think this is interesting that although Zacchaeus was vertically challenged, there was that desire in his heart to really see this Jesus, the one who was doing miracles all around the land, the one that professed to be the Messiah, the Lord, Jesus, God's Son. He wanted to see him. And you know what, guys? There's not a lot that's changed in the 2,000 years since Jesus was first here on the earth. The world still wants to see authentic Jesus. They're very desirous. They're willing to climb out on a limb to see authentic Jesus. So for us as a church, we need to wake up to that reality and be obedient and be people who are ready to show the world authentic Jesus through our lives of submission, our lives of following the Holy Spirit, being available, just saying, Lord, whatever you lead me into, whatever. I'm going to Jericho today. I'm passing through Jericho. But God, if you've got something in Jericho for me to do today, wake me up to that. Let me see that. Help me to recognize that. And, you know, I look back on my own week this week as I had, you know, I was passing through my own Jericho, going through my routines, going to different places and stuff. And I had a mixed week in terms of being what I feel like responsive to the Holy Spirit and being obedient to what God was giving me in terms of ministry opportunities. I was driving down to North Augusta earlier this week, and I'm driving down, it's raining, it's cold, and I'm getting to make a left turn from Riverwatch Parkway onto 13th Street, and there's a guy standing on the corner there who has a prosthetic leg, and he's just standing there. There's no sign or anything, but I have a sense that, you know, he's standing there in the rain. He must need help. I'm in the outside lane. I can't really get in. I thought, oh, on my way back from North Augusta, I'll stop by and see if I can help him in some kind of way. So I'm leaving the place I'm in North Augusta to go to the hospital to visit someone that from our congregation who's in the hospital. And I'm just, my mind's somewhere else. I drive right by 13th Street, and I think it's Jones Street at that point. I am clueless. That guy's not on my mind. He's not on my radar at all. I don't know if he was still there or not. I just know that I was not the least bit cognizant of him because I'm thinking about something else. I'm distracted. So it's like, I need to go back. But I've got these things. I've got these other appointments I need to go to. God, I'm busy. Yes. Confess. Yes. And so I get to the hospital, and I see this the person that is in ICU that's in our church family. I go and pray for him. And I see this guy that sort of gets my attention, and he's coming into ICU, and he's going into another room. And I just made note of him. So I had to come back to the office for some things. Fast forward, I missed the opportunity with the guy at the corner of 13th Street and Riverwatch Jones Street. But I went back to the hospital to see this guy in ICU from our church later in the week. And I ran into the same guy that I had seen going into the ICU unit. But it was outside the unit. It was outside in the hall. And I remembered him, and I got prompt. I thought, okay, this time, I've got time. I will make time. And I just stopped the guy. I said, hey, I was in an ICU the other day, and I noticed you have a family member or a friend. It's like, yeah, my wife had a stroke. And I said, hey, I'm a pastor. I just saw you the other day, and he's sort of on my radar, and I think it's interesting that I ran into you this morning. Can I pray for you? He's like, sure, that'd be great. And I just had an opportunity to pray for him. And guys, sometimes our weeks are just like that, okay? But God's always at work. He's merciful. He's gracious to us. He's not condemning us when we get in those busy modes and when we get on with things. But Jesus was always tuned into what the Father was doing. And I would encourage you, let us pray to be tuned in to what the Father is doing, because people do really want to see the real Jesus. And he's called us to be just to be his hands and feet, to be empowered by the same Holy Spirit who empowered him when he was here on earth. And so Jesus comes to show God to the real world, the real God to the real world, and the Holy Spirit wants to do the same thing with us. And so Jesus goes by the sycamore tree, and he looks up at Zacchaeus, and he calls him by name. Again, another word of knowledge about, you know, this guy he never met before. Zacchaeus, quick, come down. I must be a guest in your home today. I must be a guest in your home today. The man who's professing to be the Savior of the universe, the Messiah, the one who's doing all these amazing miracles all around this region, he's looking up at this outcast, both from a social standpoint and a religious standpoint, that says, hey, I got to come to your house today. Come down. Take me there. And this is huge in that culture, because to welcome someone into your home, for Jesus to go in Zacchaeus' home, is saying, Zacchaeus, I accept you. I accept you. I choose to identify with you. I am making this cultural, social connection with you. This was huge, and this was a major surprise to Zacchaeus, who was just counting on getting a look at this guy. Not any kind of personal interaction, but Jesus looks up and says, not just, hey, Zacchaeus, I guess I'll go to your house. No, I must do this. And that's God saying that. He wants us to be that voice saying that to the world around us. God loves you, and he wants so deeply and so desperately to be in your life. He wants you to know his love, to know his goodness. And so Zacchaeus quickly climbed down, and he took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. But the people were displeased. The people, the religious people, you know, the gossips, the critics, they were displeased. Quote, he has gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner. They grumbled. And that still happens today, doesn't it? It still happens today. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord, and he said this, I will give half my wealth to the poor, Lord, and if I have cheated people on their taxes, I will give them back four times as much. And Jesus responded, saying, salvation has come to this home today, for this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost. Those who are lost. And so we look at Zacchaeus' responses to Jesus coming to his house, which is basically God's salvation coming to Zacchaeus' life. And we see that whenever we welcome God's kingdom, his rule and reign, that there is joy, there is peace, there is right relationship. Paul puts it that way in Romans chapter 14, 17, that it's not about eating and drinking. It's not about what you eat according to a Jewish diet or a Jewish law. It's not about what you wear. It is all about the Spirit of God being alive in you, the Spirit of God taking control, the rule and reign of God, the kingdom of God. It's not about a geographic place, but it is a spiritual realm where God rules and where God reigns, where Jesus is in charge and where he comes and sets things right. Where he sets things right, where he brings healing, where he brings freedom to the oppressed, where he brings provision to those who are lacking. And so Paul puts it this way, for the kingdom of God, it's not a matter of what we eat or drink, but living a life of goodness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And in Jesus, the kingdom of God had come to Zacchaeus' house and to his life, and there was joy in Zacchaeus' life. God's kingdom gave Zacchaeus a new joy-filled perspective on life and also a new freedom when it came to giving with joy as well. Go back and read Luke 18, the rich young ruler, and compare rich young ruler in Luke 18 to Zacchaeus in Luke 19. And we see that there's a very stark contrast. The Zacchaeus receiving Jesus coming into his home, the kingdom of God coming into Zacchaeus' life, and it was a personal encounter. And when each of us have a personal encounter with God's love and grace, our hearts are changed, and our lives respond with generosity. We see that with Zacchaeus. We see that so very pointedly, because Jesus didn't order Zacchaeus to go and do this. Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, I will give half my wealth to the poor, and if I've cheated anyone on their taxes, I will give them back four times as much. This exceeds what the Jewish law said in terms of recompense and reconciliation and repayment. This far exceeds that. You can go back in the Old Testament and see that this is much more. So, and Zacchaeus was apparently raised as a Jewish man, and he probably knew a lot of the law. But he exceeded that because Jesus said, okay, Zacchaeus, you need to give, you know, sell all you have and give half of it to the poor. No, Jesus didn't give him any instructions on that. This was simply a heart response because he had encountered the real Jesus. He had encountered the kingdom of God in his own life and invited the kingdom, the rule and reign of God into every part of his life, including his finances. And God just wants to be a part of everything that we're about. He wants his rule and reign to be a part of everything we are, our relationships, our sexuality, our finances, everything. God wants us to invite his rule and reign. Because when we do that, we will experience joy and peace and things just being set right and in a good way. And that's what we see here in Zacchaeus. He had received God's love, and it had changed him. It changed him. He had experienced the generous love of God revealed in Jesus in the flesh. Several years ago, I had the privilege of leading an elderly lady in our church to the Lord. She wasn't in our church, actually. She wasn't in our church. Her daughter was in our church. And she was very, very ill, very sick, and the daughter had asked me to go and pray with her, and I had done that on several occasions, but she was nearing death. And I went, and I just had a real strong sense that I'm supposed to pray and invite her to receive Jesus. And I did that in the hospital. She received the Lord, and then God just touched her physically, and there was a radical healing that occurred. And you know, often on those kind of deathbed salvation experiences, you wonder, okay, will there be any real life change? But there was a major, major change in this woman. She had experienced the kingdom of God in her life. And her daughter told me, she said, you know, my mom has never been a generous person. But since she prayed to receive Jesus, she has become just an amazingly generous and joy-filled person. The kingdom of God had come to her life, and she had experienced it. And it wasn't that someone went to her and said, okay, now that you've received Christ, you need to start doing this, 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 and this with your money. We never had that conversation. I doubt her daughter had that conversation. But it was a heart experience. She had experienced God, and that was one of the byproducts of that experience. And this is what happens when we become wholehearted followers of Jesus and give him access to every part of our lives. Every part of our lives become instruments of worship to God. And it's a life of obedience that he calls us to. And so when Jesus told his disciples, hey, heal the sick, raise the dead, cure those with leprosy and cast out demons, give as freely as you have received. This is a lifestyle of being a follower of Jesus. That we love Jesus and we do his ministry everywhere. And his ministry is a ministry of generosity to all people, including the poor. And we do this with great joy. And so next Sunday, we are going to be receiving our annual Compassion Fund offering, which funds our ministry to and with the poor. And if you haven't had a chance to pick up one of the brochures that details all the things that we do locally and globally to support and to serve and care for the poor, there's some back at the Welcome Center, and I would love for you to pick up one. We don't have a financial goal where we're saying, okay, we want X amount of dollars. What we do want is if you consider Vineyard Church of Augusta your home, or God's calling you to be part of our church family, we want 100% participation. From the kids, our V Kids are collecting disposable diapers. Their goal is 2,000 disposable diapers, and they're going to be distributed through our storehouse food pantry. That's one of the items that we get lots of requests for. Our V Youth are working to receive 600 toiletry items, also to be distributed through storehouse, our food pantry, which last year served over 7,000 people. And so we need these items. And guess what? Your four-year-old's not able to buy disposable diapers, parents. So we need you to do that this week. There are bins in the V-Kids area, and you don't have to have a kid in V-Kids to be able to participate and be a part of that. So that's one of the goals. And I want to encourage you. We want everybody here to give sacrificially over and above your regular tithes and offerings. Pray and ask the Holy Spirit for a specific amount. If you're married, I would encourage you and your spouse, do it separately and then come together and say, okay, what's the number you feel like the Lord gave you? And that's what Mary Margaret and I do, and I would encourage you to do that. And ask for a specific amount. You say, Reese, that's scary. I know. Yeah, but it's good. God always blesses it. He always blesses it. And I just want you to be part of the celebration that we're going to get to have as we serve the poor. These funds go locally to serve the poor out of our own church, through our food pantry and other ministries that we're involved in here in Augusta, regionally, internationally, in Haiti and in India. And I don't want you to be left out of the fun. People ask, can I give a pledge? Sure. We have a few people that do that. We're looking for offerings, to receive an offering now through the end of the year. If you're not able to give next Sunday or you're not here, if you are maybe out of town and want to give online, you can do that at vineyardaugusta.org. Just know that any online giving with credit card transactions, there are fees that come out of that. But you can also do direct pay with your local bank. So there are all kinds of options, but we want everybody to get involved in giving to the poor. This is something that Vineyard Church of Augusta does. This is who we are. This is what God's called us to be, and He's called us to do. And so pray and ask the Holy Spirit to give you a specific amount and listen, and He will do that, and then be obedient. Will it probably require some sacrifice? You bet. It usually does. I mean, think about it. Zacchaeus, I'm sure he lived pretty well. And he's saying, okay, Jesus, I'm gonna give half of what I have to the poor. And in terms of going back for retribution, I mean, going back to try to reconcile anybody that I've mistreated or cheated in their taxes, I'm gonna pay them back fourfold. I'm sure Zacchaeus noticed that in his personal finances, but it didn't compare. Any hit that his finances would have taken did not compare to the joy he was experiencing as a result of inviting God's rule and reign into his heart and his life. I leave you with these words of encouragement from the Apostle Paul, 2 Corinthians 9. You must each decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. Don't do that. For God loves a person who gives cheerfully. And God will generously provide all you need, and then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. As the scriptures say, they share freely and give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. And I got to tell you, the folks in the food pantry, when we serve there in the food pantry, a lot of folks come in, they get their food, and they go, but a lot of folks are also very verbal and very vocal about thanking us for the food that we were able to provide to them. They express that. I got this letter from one of the folks who's been part of our outreach to St. Stephen's downtown, a house that houses people who are HIV positive and are at risk for being homeless. I really appreciate the Vineyard Church because they help me stay clean and sober by praying and encouraging me in word and deed. They listen to our problems and try to find ways to help us solve them. They love to hear how our week has been, and they love to hear about the important changes in our lives. They're very special people to me. They all have a very special place in my heart. And I've loved learning about God through the Alpha series. A lot of my questions about God have been answered, and I'm getting a better understanding about Him. And I also appreciate all the ways they've supplied the many needs that I have. Thank you, Vineyard Church, for everything, because you guys make that possible for us to go and do dinner and take resources and help them. So we're talking about Zacchaeus today, the hated outcast from Jericho who received Jesus' offer of relationship and as a result experienced new life, a new perspective on how to live his life, how to give his life. And so this morning I just want to ask the Holy Spirit to just speak to each one of us about what he wants to say to us about how we're living our lives. Would you guys stand with me?